Hello. All right, I think we're going. All right, for those of you who might not know me, my name is Erica Loesch. Tim and I have been married for almost 30 years. Older than some of you. Most of you. We have four kids who are now all grown. Three of them are married. Liz is one of ours. She's our oldest. They have one little granddaughter. I hope for a gazillion more. Three of the kids are married, and one is well on his way. So that's, yeah, so we'll see what the next year brings here. But we homeschooled all the way through, and now I have a cleaning business. Now that everybody's grown and on their own, I have a cleaning business partially for income and partially because it gives me an opportunity for the gospel. So that's kind of fun. So, excuse me. As I was preparing for today, I was just asking the Lord what he wanted me to share with you. And I just took a little walk outside and was walking around, and I found myself near the garden, and I was watching, sprinkler was going, and I was like, you know, raising kids, a little bit like gardening, because we need to water, we need to feed, we need to nurture, I guess, the plants, we need to weed them, we need to tend to them. Kids all need those same things, or they will just fizzle out just like what my tomatoes look like currently. So, they need love, truth, and instruction. They need the word of God. They need us to help weed out of their hearts things that will destroy them. And just as plants need pruning, our kids need correction and discipline. So today I hope to give you an idea of how to apply some of these things in different areas of life. But I wanted to start with the foundation. A lot of what I have to share with you tonight, it is biblically based. I might not throw a ton of verses here and there, but it's all biblically based. It might be stuff that works for you. It might not. Here's the thing. God has given us wisdom as moms, and he gives us his word. And what you might do might be something different in your family. As long as it's lining up with scripture, that's good. You know, that's what we need. One of my favorite passages that probably describes my heart is from Deuteronomy 6. It says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, so that you may do them in the land where you are going over to take possession of it, so that you, your son, and your grandson will fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Hear, Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall repeat them diligently to your sons, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. You shall also tie them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." What an amazing, amazing foundation for raising our kids. Every bit of our life, walking, sitting, you know, laying down, whatever, talking, everything on the doorposts, God should be center in all of it. And that is what we want to think of when we're thinking of our parenting, is that God is all of that. One of the first things I want our kids to know is that it is God who gives the commands. He's the one who we're always going back to. laying the foundation that God is the ultimate authority is critical. Your kids will hear so many voices trying to pull them in so many different directions. They need to know that God is ultimate authority. He's the one true God. He's the creator. He's the Lord. He's the Savior. He's our friend. He is with us and he goes before us. Our children must know these truths and embrace God as their ultimate authority in order to walk well. He gives strength. He helps make decisions throughout all of life. He gives hope and joy. What a gift it is that we can teach our kids about this amazing creator and Lord. Second, we must be all in living and teaching these truths. This is not just Sunday morning. It's not just Wednesday night or the occasional ladies thing. This is all in. This is repeat. This is what some of the verses say. Repeat them. Speak of them when you sit down, you walk, when you lie up, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as a sign on your hands, etc. Write them on the doorposts of your house. By doing these things, we're teaching our children that God is part of every part of our life. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's not just a Wednesday thing. It's not just family devotions. It is every aspect just oozing into our bodies and into our lives. His truths must be applied in every area of our life, every decision we make as an individual and as a family. Let your kids see that. It's so important. Third is our why. So it may go well with you. It's simple. Life goes better with Jesus. Like it does. It's not going to be, you know, problem-free. It's not going to be pain-free, but it is going to go better. No question about it. Less consequences from sinful decisions, more peace, more hope, more strength, and more joy. Also, last, because we need to be the light. We need to be a light to the dark world around us. And what a joy it is to watch families who are doing that. It is just joy to my heart. So no matter what your methodology is, may it just totally be Christ-centered in all that you do. So in preparation for today, I asked my kids, what are some of the things that you remember that we taught you? Here's some of the things. One of the silly ones, I would call silly, is that when the kids were like getting really dramatic about something that I asked them to do, like they were going to die, I'd be like, if you die, I will bury you well. But then I would add something like, but I get your Legos or I get your iPod or whatever it was. I was just like, you know, and then they're like, whatever, Mom. Like, and then they go do it. But it was just, that's one of the things they remember. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Do it with a happy heart. Be gentle, be humble, be a servant, and be teachable. We'll talk about those in a little bit. Verses that they had to write multiple times to remind them what behaviors were right ones and which ones were the wrong ones. So I'd be like, yeah, you know better. Write this whatever verse. Matter of fact, one of mine, who might be in this vicinity, did something one day and they just were not repentant. And I said, fine, start writing 1 Corinthians 13 until you are repentant. Okay. My personality is like, I'd probably get to verse 2 and I'd be like, I'm so sorry, Mom. But she wrote though. I mean, she, that person wrote the entire chapter before she was like, yeah, sorry, Mom. So anyway, let's see what else they remember. Family devotions. First time obedience. Yeah, we mentioned that one. Times when we were inconsistent and didn't do the punishment we were supposed to give. I was like, thank you. Thank you for reminding me for my failures. But the thing is that we are going to fail. It is what it is. Like, God knows that. He doesn't expect that we're going to be perfect. But that we're sincerely seeking his ways. That's the most important part there. Before I dive deeper into some of these things, I want to share something I wrote several years ago. You probably will identify with this. This is when the kids were little. It said, signs of a concussion are headache, confusion, dizziness, difficulty concentrating, memory problems, and slowed reaction time. After almost 17 years of parenting, I put two and two together. After our hard day with the kids, what I have is a concussion. So in light of this information, I need to lay down in a dark, quiet place with no stress, noise, or workload for the next 2 weeks. And I should probably be fed things that I love, like broccoli pizza and chocolate. So remember that on the hard days, moms, you just have a concussion. And you need that chocolate. So some days will feel like this. It's going to happen. I'm sure you have probably already experienced that. As I thought about what I was going to share with you, I thought, what would I have wanted to know when I was just starting out? So first I want to concentrate on you as moms. And some of it's going to interweave a little bit with the kids' stuff we need to teach them. But number one, be their model. Some of you may be too young to remember the Phillips, Craig, and Dean. We'll see. But they had a song called I Want to Be Just Like You. And the chorus said, Lord, I want to be just like you because he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. I want to be just like you because he wants to be like me. Our children do what we do. And I actually had a really good example this week. Gracie and Liz come help me clean a school and a church on Thursday evenings. And Gracie loves to help. So I gave her a little broom, and she was following me around. And I didn't tell her what to do. I would go, and I'd sweep under a bench, and I'd take a step forward. And then Gracie would come, and she'd sweep as far as she could under the bench and follow me. I never instructed her. She just totally was watching me. This is what our kids do to us. They watch. I remember first tones, when I realized my tones maybe weren't always that great, was when one of mine repeated that same tone to me. And I was like, you can't talk that way to me. And then I realized that's how I had been talking to that child. And they will just totally repeat the way we are. So make sure that you are modeling Christ. They're going to normalize what we normalize. I was reminded of this with Gracie, so that was the story about that one. But normalize, here's some things to normalize. Normalize spending time in the Word and in prayer. Ladies, this is going to be different depending on what season you're in. Right now, most mornings, I have a good amount of time where I can sit down, I can be in the Word, I can pray, I can just have some quiet time. That is not the case for most of you probably right now. So get it in when you can. Maybe it's early morning. Maybe you can squeeze it in then. Maybe it's an audio Bible where you're when you're driving that you can do a lot of the time. I wouldn't say all the time, but a lot of the time. Maybe it's during nap time. Maybe it's late at night when you finally get to relax. Get that time in. It doesn't really matter how. That's going to change a little bit over the years. Just get it in. It is so refreshing to the heart and mind. It's very important. So normalize time in the Word and in prayer. Normalize speech that aligns with Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So make sure your words, tones, and actions are like Christ. Normalize being in church. We need the body of Christ, period. We need worship. We need biblical teaching. We need to habitually be together as the body. Normalize Christ being the center of your family. Make him the center of everything. Normalize treating one another with kindness and humility. Words, tones, actions, and model Christ in all that you do. They want to be like you, and they will copy what you model. Number two, holiness is your goal, not happiness. This is a piece of advice I was given when I was pregnant for Liz. And it sounds a little harsh at first, like, what? You don't want your kids to be happy? But that I want them to be happy, that is not my goal. My goal is that they be Christ-like, that he be their all in all, that they be holy like God. And so happiness can be fleeting. But when you are holy, it's just such a rock there to be like Christ. So a lot of times we don't want to upset our kids. So picture this little toddler not getting their way, and you're in public. They start to throw a temper tantrum. Our first thought is, oh, we don't want to look bad. We got to hurry and close, you know, shut the kid up, whatever. Make them happy. Well, when you do that without any consequence, that child's learning, oh, I can throw that temper tantrum to manipulate mom and dad. And next thing you know, you have a 15-year-old who's throwing temper tantrums and manipulating mom and dad. So start young. Start when they're young. Don't be, your goal is not their happiness, it's their holiness. So train them from the time they're young. And as they keep going, get to your child's heart. That is the most important. It is not that I'm going to make it look good on the outside. Your heart, their heart is what you're always, the goal is always to touch their heart and to lead them to Christ. Number three, show grace to one another. When my kids were at different stages of life, I would tell them, you know what? This is the first time you have been at this age. This is the first time that I have parented you. Yeah. Right at the end, if we can. Can you write it down? Yes. Can you write it down? Okay, good. Thank you. When they were young and they hit a new age, I would say to them, this is the first time you've been at this age, first time I parented you at this age. Maybe I'd parented other kids, but no two kids are the same. I said, so we're both going to make mistakes. It is what it is. Like, so we need to show each other grace and walk through this together. So I think that's a really good thing to tell your kids. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But we're going to walk through this together. So show grace to one another. It also means we get to know our kids. You need to know their strengths, know their weaknesses. When we know these things, we can walk better with them. David was mine that he would be so sensitive to correction that I could easily manipulate him if I wanted to into feeling really sorry for what he did. That was not my goal. My goal was I wanted him to be repentant in his heart. So I learned what he was like when it came to discipline. You know, Liz was a totally different thing. Anna, Caleb, all four of them responded differently, but always getting to their heart was my most, that's just the biggest thing to get to, but know them. So get to know your kids. It'll help you grow in grace. Number four, God has given you everything you need. When I was a bit nervous about my firstborn, my mom said, Erica, God has given you everything you need. He has given you his Holy Spirit. He's given you his word. And that, in the times where I was like, I don't know what to do, Lord, those words came back to me. you have given me everything I need. Doesn't mean we're not going to seek counsel. Doesn't mean we're not going to, you know, need help from other people. But the reality is God gave that child to me. So he knew that I was the best mom for that child. So that is what you can remember in those really hard times. God has given you everything you need. Just ask him for help, ask others for help, whatever you need. But he has given you everything that you need. I don't have to fear. I don't have to be anxious. He doesn't demand perfection of us. And he knows we have struggles. Number five, listen to your children. Learn this hard way. Listen to your children. It's so important, even on those little things that mean nothing to us. I got called out on this by Caleb when he was little. He was barely old enough that I would let him play Minecraft. So whatever age that started at, I can't remember. But yeah, I remember that he was barely old enough. We were driving down the road, and he's the only kid with me, and he's like, Minecraft, talk, 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 talk. And I was bored, I mean, just to death. Like, it was mind-numbing to me. I didn't care. And so I was just going, uh-huh, uh-huh, like, just answering him, uh-huh, putting those little things in there. Finally, he said, Mom, Mom, stop saying uh-huh. And I was like, oh, ouch. I was like, I just got called out by my little boy. I was like, he wants me to listen. It taught me. Listen to your kids. It is not going to be convenient all the time. You are going to be or interesting at all. But listen. And yeah, Minecraft.
It takes a lot of diligence.
It does. It does. But listen to them. It's important to them. And when you listen to them in those little things, they will come back to you with the bigger things later. They will, because they trust you. So listen to your kids. Number six, pray for your children. What a gift. What a gift the Lord gives us that we can pray for our kids. We have an up front first row seat to what they need, what their struggles are, what their strengths are, where they need to change, where they need to be more like Jesus. Pray for their salvation. Pray for hearts that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Pray that they will be gentle, humble, teachable servants. Pray that they will learn to go to God about everything. Pray they will desire God's ways above all else. Take time to pray for your children, but also take time to pray with your children. When they're young and they're struggling over, you know, things, habitual sins of disobedience or being mean or whatever it is, pray with them. You know, maybe you've done some discipline. Pray with them and ask God to help them. And then as they get older, start asking them, how can I pray for you? Because then there's an awareness there in their heart of what needs to be changed. What does my heart need to be changed? And it's a good open communication possibility. So pray with your children. Number seven, teach your children to be real. Okay. I am not one for fake. Never have been, never will be. We are who we are, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So teach your children to be real with others. So here's probably my best example of being real. One morning when the kids were little, they fought all morning long, just fighting and fighting and fighting incessantly. It was nonstop. Then we had to go serve, and we were going to work at church in the afternoon, just helping around the church. So when we got in the van, we started driving down the road, and I said, okay, when we get to church, I want to make sure you guys just keep doing what you've been doing all day, fight. And they all were like, what? Like, what? I go, because we're not going to fake it. You're going to fight at home the whole morning? We're not going to make it look good at church. Just keep doing what you were doing at home, because we're not going to be two different people. It was like dead silent in the van. And no one fought the rest of the day. It was amazing. But the thing is, I don't want my kids to be fake. Like, none of us are perfect. We're not perfect families, not perfect kids, not perfect parents. I'm not saying go drag all your dirty laundry out there. But the fact is don't fake it. We're not going to be awful to each other in one place, and suddenly you're at church and you're all goody, good, good. That's all happy, happy, happy. No, it's be real. Be real with other people. Be real with each other. Number eight, let them grow. As our kids grow, it's easy to keep telling them what to do and not let them think for themselves. So it's easy to hover and not make them think. It's also easy to remove all the obstacles so they don't struggle or feel any pain. But we need to let them mature. We need to let them grow as they mature. So here's a few examples that come to mind. As they grow, rather than telling them what to do, ask them what needs to be done. So have them think through their responsibilities. If you have a kid, here's an example of that. If you have a kid who habitually forgets their coat You know, you get somewhere and they're like, forgot my coat. Have them have a natural consequence. Don't bail them out. Say you drop them off at a friend's house or whatever it is, something fun, and they're supposed to go outside and they forgot their coat again. Natural consequence. Guess what? You get to stay inside today. You know, something simple. They need to learn those things. We can't bail them out every time, or they will be an adult sitting in our basement playing video games. Like, you know, I mean, they have to have those natural consequences so that they can feel and learn responsibility and mature. It trains them to remember. My mom always said, you didn't forget, you chose not to remember, is what she would always tell us. Ouch. So, and then also don't be a snowplow parent. That's a parent who removes all the obstacles out of their way so everything goes well for them. So an example of this would be when our son David was playing basketball. They did homeschool basketball. He had a coach who was awful. That coach's family had a beef with some of our extended family. And because of that, he didn't like David at all. And so he would sit David and David's cousin out of practices. He would sit him on the bench, even though it was supposed to be a team where everybody pretty much played equal. He was just awful. We could have removed him from that situation. We could have said, nope, not worth the pain, you know, but we did not. We instead said, you know what, David, kind of stinks. It's reality. What we want you to do is we want you to pray for your coach, and we want you to look for opportunities to serve your coach. So there was days where he would see his coach coming, you know, they got their big old duffel bags, their hands are full, they can't get the door by themselves. And I remember David holding the door over open for him. And I remember the look on his face of, I didn't want to do this, but I'm choosing to show you honor and to help you. And so those were opportunities that we could come and talk with him. And he grew and he matured during that year. And he learned how to walk graciously through really hard situation. It was a hard situation. Didn't get better. The whole time didn't get better. But we chose not to pull him out of that because we didn't want to snowplow everything out of his way so that everything is hunky-dory and wonderful and easy. And we wanted him to grow through that. Also, teach them to love God on their own. As the kids grew, we told them, son, you can listen to everything we tell you and teach you about God. You have to make this your own. So as they got older, instead of, you know, they maybe hear about a missions trip. Mom, Dad, can we go on this missions trip? Okay, well, did you ask God? Did you go to God and ask him what he wants you to do? Because, yeah, we could make the decision. And we probably every time God said yes on pretty much all of those. But we wanted them to go to God, not just to us. It's great to go to us. Not that I don't want them to come to us. But we wanted to teach them, always go to God. Always go to God. Always go to God. So as they got older, we did that to help let them grow. All right, number 9, you be mom to your kids. Even if no one else is doing this life in the same way, I don't say that to be rebellious or not to listen to counsel, but again, God has given you everything you need. So you do what your family decides what the best way is to lead your children to Jesus at all times. So those are a few things for you moms. Now we actually get into the stuff, other stuff. All right, here we go. Let's keep moving. So, all right, those are a few things for you mom. Here's some things that are really great to teach to your kids. We'll try to fly through these. Gentle, humble servant. For several years, I had those words up on the wall, taped, like literally taped, gentle, humble servant, were up there on the wall. Eventually, I added a fourth one, which is teachable, because I think that's really important. And these are really, really important things, I think, for your kids. Number one, gentle. It is not always easy in the home, especially between siblings. The first response of a child to a sibling that is pushing their buttons is typically not very gentle. But our kids need to be taught what Christ's response would be like. So teach them to speak calmly with kindness. Teach them to respond slowly and lovingly. Teach them to hug a sibling who is sad. Teach them to be gentle to all people around them in every area of their life. So be gentle. Humble. This is another trait of Christ. Teach your kids the verses from Philippians 2, one of my favorite passages, talking about the humility of Christ. Teach them what it looks like. Examples would be saying you're sorry when you hurt someone, or admitting that you did something wrong. Make sure it's not just an I'm sorry, but ask for forgiveness as well. Humility is also thinking of others before more than yourself. So let others go before you in line. Let somebody else have the biggest piece of cake. You know, teach your kids those things so that they're constantly learning to think of others more than themselves. Humility. Be a servant. Start this when your kids are young. Our sin nature makes us very selfish from the get-go. And our kids' inclination is me. So at first, I get the biggest. I get the best. Others should do what I want. You can see this especially in young children. One of the phrases I used for years was, we work as a team to keep the house clean. Teach them to serve their family. So it's not just serving other people outside the home, but also their family. Teach them to serve their community. Teach them to serve wherever opportunity presents itself. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a couple of minutes. So, teachable. Even though this wasn't taped on the wall, this is the fourth one that I highly, highly, highly recommend. And I think it hit me most when Derek and Liz were living with us in their first year of marriage. And Derek, he would come to us often and go, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? He'd ask for guidance, and then he would apply it. Like, one of the most teachable people I think I've ever met. It was incredible. And I was like, wow, look at that man of God at leading his wife and now his daughter. He's so teachable. And I knew teachable was important, but that was so modeled to me of how important that teachable is. So teach your kids what it looks like to be teachable. It's not easy to teach, and I think it's best taught by example. So I think it's let your conversations be one that show ways that you are humble enough to listen and be taught by others. Be willing to admit when you don't know something. Talk with your kids about how important this trait is in life and openly recognize when they have made choices to be teachable. So recognize that so that they can start to go, oh, okay, like that. Okay, got it. this blends in well with humility because a humble heart is teachable. And remember that in all four of these areas, we're looking to get to the heart, not just the outward action. Number two, see the need. I've shared this with a few of you before, but something I wish that I had thought of when the kids were little. But I would start this out. So I'm just going to give you a quick example of what this looks like. So see the need. Let's just start when they're little. So you've got toddlers in the house. It's nap time. It's time to pick up the toys. So you look around the room with them and you're like, see the need. Oh, look, the toys need to be put away and make a big deal out of it. All right, we're going to see the need. Let's work on this together and then make it fun. Who can pick up the most toys, the fastest, whatever you want to do, but something where they see, even as a little toddler, oh, the need is to pick up the toys. Let's do it together. So teaching them to help and to see the needs of others. As they grow, keep using the phrase, see the need around the house. Help them notice chores that need to be done. Or maybe it's been a really busy day for mom and dad. So have them see, hey, it's been a real hard day with mom. What things do you see around the house that could be done? Maybe people have been sick, so there's a little extra around the house. Okay, see the need. What do you need to be done? Now, I can tell you that there will probably be times where you have been gone out as a mom in the evening or something, and you come home and you look around and you go, I don't think anybody saw the need. Like, I remember that. Like, they didn't see the need at all. Like, but anyway, it'll happen. But teach them to go above and beyond their normal desires to see and meet the needs of others. As your kids grow, teach them to see the need beyond just the practical help. So teach them to notice ways they encourage others emotionally and spiritually. Teach them to look into the eyes of others, to be alert to struggles or needs, because when you look in the eyes of people, learn to read their eyes, and you'll see a lot of times you'll be like, how you doing? And teach your children that, to be alert to those things. Teach them to ask questions that go beyond the superficial. Teach them to immediately stop and pray with others. So maybe they did talk to that person and say, hey, how you doing? And they were like, actually not so well. Teach them to stop and pray with that person right then and there. As you hear of tough situations, teach them to send notes of encouragement. Tie this all in to see the need. Before you leave the house, remind them, okay, when we go out in public today, let's see the need. So say you're walking up towards a store and you see an older lady in front of you. You can, you know, bend down and whisper to your kids, see the need. She's going to need somebody to open her door, and have them run ahead and open that door for that lady. You know, teach them to be observant to those kind of things. You see the need. So teach them to go above and beyond. When opportunities come up at church or in the community, remind them of the phrase and ask how they can be a part. choose to do that as a family? How is can we as a family see the need? I believe teaching kids to see the need is one of the most important things. It builds into them the gentleness, kindness, selflessness, and servanthood. It teaches them to think of others more than themselves. It prepares them for adulthood, marriage, and leadership. Really, it's teaching them to be the hands and feet of Jesus. All right, number three, do to others. Along with see the need is also teaching our kids how to treat others. Here's a couple of truths to teach. That our actions affect others, just like a ripple effect. If you throw a stone in a pond, it ripples out. It's going to be positive or negative. So your actions affect others. Encourage one another and build each other up. We didn't allow yelling, name-calling, any of that in our house. So when it happened, because it did, it happened, we were on it right away because it's just not acceptable. If I was the random offender where I had yelled at my kids, right, Liz? I apologized and told them I was wrong. I was wrong. So encourage one another and build each other up. Four, talk to Jesus about everything. We talked a little bit about this earlier. When your children are old enough to eat solids, teach them to tell Jesus thank you for your food and just keep doing that as they grow and teach them to talk to Jesus throughout their day. Teach them to commit their day to the Lord. A good chunk of my mornings when I literally sit up in bed, I will say, Lord, use me today. Teach me today. So go to the Lord. Teach them to go to the Lord first thing in the morning and ask God to use them that day. And then at the end of your day, tell God, thank you for this day and see the things that God has done during that day. Teach them to ask God for wisdom as they make decisions. Teach them to go to Jesus when they're feeling sad, mad, or frustrated. Teach them to utter a thank you, Lord, as they recognize his blessings throughout the day. Even if, say, you're going on a icy road as a family and you're traveling from point A to point B, stop and give God thanks when you get there safely. Teaching them always, going to Jesus. Pray about areas they need to grow in. Teach them to pray through verses. God's word is amazing to pray through. Make talking to Jesus as normal as talking to those around them. Teaching them to pray is one of the best ways for them to deepen their love for God and to strengthen their faith. Number five, teach them we have an enemy. Hey, we had hard days in our house sometimes. And, you know, that morning like I was talking about where they're bickering like crazy. And there were days where they would just be like, oh, it just wasn't going well. And I'd be like, wait, stop. Do you see what's happening here? The enemy's getting at us and we're falling for it and we're getting at each other. Who's the true enemy? And they'd be like, Satan, like, yes. So we would literally stop right then and there. We would pray together. We did it together because when you do that together, it is strengthening for your family and it's strengthening in your faith. So we would stop and we would pray together. And a lot of times we would turn on praise music. Sometimes we would grab our wooden spoon microphones and sing together in the kitchen, whatever it was. But that together, we are going to stand against the enemy because we do have an enemy and he seeks to destroy. So if he can destroy our family and our relationships and our family, it all goes from there, you know? So teach them that we have an enemy. Number six, teach them to obey. First time obedience with a happy heart. I'm going to tell you this real quick. First of all, we taught our kids, we want you to obey the first time with a happy heart because in life there are going to be times where God asks you to do something you don't feel like doing. There are going to be times in life where God's going to ask you to do something that you just don't understand. It has happened to us as adults. I know my kids have already experienced that in adulthood in different areas as well. But it's important for them to know that do the obedience even when you don't feel like it. Because it's going to happen in life. God's going to ask us to do things sometimes we don't want to do. One quick story that we taught our kids about the importance of obedience and immediate obedience was a story that I don't even know where I heard it. But anyway, it was that there was a family who had a pretty good sized backyard. And running through the back of their yard was a train tracks. And one day the little girl was playing outside and there was a plane that kept swooping back and forth like low to the ground and it was making a lot of noise and she was actually on the train tracks. What she didn't know is that there was a train coming just around the bend. The mom could see it and the mom could hear it. So she went running out and the little girl still had not seen that the train was coming because she was watching the airplane. And the mom got to her in time to say, Jenny, drop now, lay down. And she did. And just after that, that train came and passed over that little girl. If she had not learned to obey her mom immediately, she had lost her life. That is a very vivid picture of why it's important for them to obey, us to obey as well, us to obey God. But it's a good picture of, it's important to obey the first time. Mom and Dad, we have a reason for asking you to do something. You need to do it right away, okay? So teach them to obey immediately. Number 7, train their heart to seek holiness. Here's just a few things we taught them. We can teach you all about God. We mentioned that you have to make your faith your own. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. It's a really good thing. Be careful what we read, what we watch, what we listen to, and how we speak. One thing that we trained our boys was the phrase, guard your eyes, guard your heart. Because there's a lot of crud out there, even just walking through stores or the way people dress. So when our boys knew, when they heard us say, guard your eyes, guard your heart, they knew look down. That meant there's an immodest picture, there's an immodest woman. And so they literally would know, guard your eyes. And that's actually one of the things David told me he remembered from growing up. And he appreciated it because it was teaching him to guard his heart by what he was seeing. So guard your eyes, guard your heart.
Yeah. There's
cool.
A lot of scary commercials right now.
Uh-huh. There's a lot of junk
and
in there.
It's like, close your eyes and then like find the remote and shut it off. Yeah. You know, like even just like a sports
game. Yeah, it's true. So guard your eyes, guard your heart.
I like that.
Break the chain. Tim was a missionary pilot. In his training, they taught the guys that most accidents happen because of a chain of events that could have been prevented with extra time or care. He taught the kids to stop the sin in their life when it's small so that it did not grow to be something that big that destroys. All right, and then I'm going to have this right here. I'm not going to read this now because of our time constraints, but it's something that I wrote to the kids that it's worth reading later on. You can read that. So, all right, let's see. It's